Adobe Acrobat Studio, so brand new. Show me all the things that PDFs can do. Do your work with ease and speed. PDF Spaces is all you need. Do hours of research in an instant. Key insights from an AI assistant. Pick a template with a click. Now your prezzo looks super slick. Close that deal, yeah, you won. Do that, doing that, did that, done. Now you can do that with Acrobat. Now you can do that with an all new Acrobat. It's time to do your best work with your new Adobe Acrobat Studio.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites? Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps to the top of search results, reaching the candidates you need. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. Speed up your hiring today with a £100 sponsored job credit at indeed.com/SPANUK. Terms and conditions apply.
Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, kid, man.
I let you bang.
Let me bang you.
I let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast, recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I got my Kevin Randleman shirt on. All right,
people. Nice. Where do you get all these shirts?
A lot of times, if you go to T Public, which I'm not even like, this is not even like an advertisement. They're not paying me anything. I actually order all this stuff. But Kevin actually gave me this shirt after he passed away. Well, he didn't give it to me. His wife did.
That'd be weird if you gave it to after he passed away.
His wife gave me this after he passed away. Which, by the way, is one of the most tragic, because Kevin was my favorite. One of my favorite. Don and Kevin Randleman are my two favorite fighters to watch and to know. Kevin Randleman was the coolest, most funniest, and guy that could just get you fucking pumped. He had this energy about him that could just, like, he was a born motivator. He was basically like an alarm clock. Like, get out of bed, do something with your life. He could go. And he hated Tito Ortiz. All he wanted to do was fight Tito Ortiz. Literally, one time there was a fight where I think it was Randy Couture beat Mark Coleman. And Tito was talking shit to him, to Randy, like, from the octagon. And then Tito was, like, in the crowd talking all this shit. And Randleman, who was friends with Randy, or friends with Coleman, got out of his house and just started running to the arena. And was going to try to fight Tito in the arena, which, I mean, I don't even know. He didn't have a ticket or anything. He just would have. But anyway, were you friends with Randleman, Don?
No, I met him a couple of times. Really great guy. Really great guy.
You never fought him?
No.
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 That would have been a great fight. That would have been a great fight.
That would have been a tough one, I'll tell you, for both of us.
That might have been one of the greatest fights of all time. Randleman didn't have the best gas tank, and he didn't have the best planning for fights. But he would always, but he was naturally.
He always showed up, yeah. Oh. He was amazing, amazing athlete. I think he was the best overall athlete, or most athletic fighter ever entered the octagon in a cage.
Yeah, this guy would like hop over the ropes in pride, and he was a great wrestler, just a guy that was just amazing, and you know, it sucks. Mayhem, did you ever wrestle with or spar against Randleman?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh man, yeah, he's a beastly guy, like some type of weird, like explosive strength. So wrestling him was hilarious, bro. Like I had to like butt scoot, sit down sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, bro, this guy is gonna fucking double leg me through the universe.
I don't understand, because you're like, you're a big, Mayhem's a big guy, a big tall guy.
Well, no, you forgot though, at this time, I was cutting to 170. So it was a weird kind of thing where, you know, sometimes when you're going down and another guy is like up and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does a weird thing. It's like we're not even close to the same weight class.
That no, that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying is like when you spar with Mark Coleman.
Well, like, it's different days. Yeah. For instance, Mark Coleman, when I was sparring him, I was putting leg locks, leg locks, leg locks. I had trained so much leg locks. So it was like rock, paper, scissors. You get what I'm saying? My leg lock and him wearing a shoe would be effective. You get what I mean? Mm. Well, yeah, while a takedown.
You mean like heel hook?
Takedown. How the hell, if I don't have enough ass to keep me on the mat, well, how am I going to not get taken down, you know?
It's just wild. Like now when you, were you guys like sparring or was it grappling or what?
I think for that, it was like, we didn't have a lot of training camp together, but it was mostly grappling because we were at Mark Lehman's Cobra Kai Jiu-Jitsu. So I don't think the fight room had been built out yet. So it was just a big grappling room. And we were doing jiu-jitsu, yeah.
Hey, ma'am, I noticed that, like, when people wore shoes, did that make it a lot easier to do, like, angle locks and heel hooks? Oh, I have a famous
win over, like, Homer Moore because he was wearing the boots, the wrestling shoes. And yeah. I just, like, shimmied underneath them and got his leg locked like Imanari.
Well, what was sparring with Hendo like?
Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, I have a lot of experience training with Henderson. He was like my introduction to real training, like scientific sort of Olympic level training, because these guys came from Olympic Training Center. You know, like they trained very scientific because him and Randy Couture, Matt Lindland, everybody was at Olympic Training Center before they were in Team Quest. So the benefit of that was that you got like the high-tech mentality instead of what the rest of us were doing, like Tito Ortiz and them. We're just like cobbling it together and like fist fighting in little gloves, you know? Like it was like some goon stupidity, you know? We were just like, punching each other until we're punchy at fucking lunch afterwards. Like,
I was shooting a sketch with Tito back in for the award show. And I remember watching a fight with Tank Abbott where he tried to throw the guy over the cage.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And then I asked Tito, because that was his sparring partner, why did he do that? Like, the guy was just... And he goes, because somebody in training was like, I bet you can't throw the guy over the cage. And like, it's like, what? Don, how worried were you when you fought Tank Abbott?
I wasn't worried at all. I knew I was going to win. I was at the top of my game, man. I knew I was going to win.
So, he did hurt you a little bit, though, right? He did buckle you once, right?
Oh, he knocked me back, knocked me on my ass, because I stepped over, I stepped, I had my feet inside my shoulders, and my stood on my heels. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but, you know, I mean, little girl, your little girl could have pushed me over at the time, you know? I mean, when you're standing on your heels and your feet are inside your shoulders, you know, you have no balance. You have no coordination. And so, I mean, like I said, your little girl went dink, and I fell.
Did you just forget how to fight for a second, or what happened?
I don't know what the hell I was doing. I was just trying to I guess I was like, wow, look, it's Tank Abbott. You know?
McCorkle, I saw that you changed your name to Dominic Cruz is Gay.
Yeah,
this is what we're going with. Like, what?
You're so much shorter than that, Sean.
I wanted to be sure to get it in, so I didn't know if I get a chance today. So I wanted it to be up on the screen, so everybody knows what I'm thinking half the time, anyway.
Now, Sean, you said the worst guy that you trained with was Tim Sylvia, right?
The worst. No.
Like, not the worst guy, like the fighter, but the worst guy to train with.
No, Matt Mitrione by far. No, Matt Mitrione is Matt Mitrione would wait until there were 3 seconds left in the round of sparring and then try to head kick you when he wasn't wearing shin pads, you know, or whatever. Like, it would just be like you'd be boxing and he would do that, or he would he's the only one who ever really hurt me in sparring, because usually, I mean, heavyweights, you get rocked a little bit, but we try to take it, you know, light on each other. But no, Matt, the first time I ever sparred with him, we went light until about five. They get the 10-second thing and then the round's almost over. So like, we were tied up and I, you know, gave him like, you know, whatever, just we tied up and I kind of pushed him off and stand there with a couple seconds left. And he hits me with a 6-piece combo, 3 of which were after the bell. And dude, I didn't know where I was for 3 days after that. I was driving home. I ended up like 15 miles from my house, parked like near a cornfield. I was looking around like, where am I at? Had no idea. No. Where I was at. Yeah, I was not right for days after that, man. I couldn't even remember what happened, but everybody couldn't believe it didn't turn into a real fight. I was like, dude, I didn't even know where, like, he won. He would have won if so, because I was not, when you're not expecting it, it's way worse when you get hit when you're not expecting it, you know?
And now, Bill, so, I saw you have a new bit or an old bit about how GSP turned you gay. What happened here?
No, it's the bit is, when I was training in the Blue Basement at Henzo Gracie's and I was like a white belt, GSP would train there. And you would always have to wear your gi and be very respectful. But GSP, because he's GSP, could walk around in his tight little boy shorts, like lightly oiled, just with his Greek god Adonis body, looking like a hairless Don Fry back in the day. And he would walk around. And look, he's a beautiful man. So I just remember I was sitting Indian style next to another jiu-jitsu guy. And I was like all shy looking down. And the guy shook George's hand. And I was just sitting there. And the guy's looking at me, nudged me. I'm like, what? I look up. And George has his hand extended. He goes, hello, like looking down at me. And while I shook his hand, I swooshed my hair behind my ear with the other hand. And my friend goes, dude, you just turned gay for a second. So that became the genesis for my first closer, where so I like.
You were gay for GSP.
Would you say?
A few seconds. Not wow. Like Dominic Cruz gay.
Well, it sounds like you had a heated rivalry.
I do want to point out that Bill would be the guy to bring up being a white belt during Black History Month. Kind of unnecessary.
Now, Mayhem, what did GSP say to you after your fight when he was hitting you and you were laughing at him?
You're an alien. You're not a real man. He's not a human. He's not a human being.
Really?
He is an alien.
Is that what he said?
He's a monster of some kind.
He said you're an alien?
Bro, go look it up, bro. It's on that DVD extras.
That sounds like a compliment, 52. Right? That's a compliment.
I guess, yeah. I am an animal.
Yeah, because he was hitting Jason and he started laughing at him.
Well, see, here's the thing, right? At 170, bro, there's nobody that could hurt me with a punch. Elbow, nothing. It was like hilarious to me. They made me go to 170, so I have this big fucking skull of a 200-pound man on 170-pound. And in fact, I have a student that reminds me of me. I'm like, oh my God, this fucking skinny kid who's going to turn into a monster later. But right now he's all gangly and he, you know, he's figuring it out. Once he puts some muscle mass on, that kid's going to be a beast.
So CSP was like respectful. He said, wow, you're crazy.
He definitely was like, wow. Because I was the first guy to take him the distance. Like, nobody survived that onslaught, but I was just thinking, ha ha, I'm going to tap you out. Ha ha ha.
I don't remember that fight. Was it a close decision or was
I mean, look, I might have got one round, but he just kept up the intensity on me. You know, he like had an answer for everything. And at that weight class, normally I would like retard strength into something, but this guy was such an epic fighter that he just kept, you know, catching me. His reaction times were super quick and his strength, like he was, the best way to say it was, like, I'm like a big skeleton shrunk down to like 170. He is like a small skeleton blown up to 170. So
basically he just wrestle fucked him. He kept taking him down.
Yeah, he kept getting me down. Well, yeah, I had planned on choking his ass out, but he just kept slipping out of every choke I had, you know?
Oh, he was all greased out?
Oh, I see. There you go.
Good, man. I'm not a snitch. And what am I going to do? Sue him?
Well, I mean, that was a big controversy with what? Didn't someone accuse him of greasing?
I think it was BJ Penn, right?
BJ Penn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But basically it was like back in like the day, and then it was like the Spike TV days. So GSP's like punching him, and then you just see some guy laughing.
Ha! No, it was before Spike TV, I believe. It was the maybe you're right. It was the first, my fight was the first fight back from John McCain's closing down of the sport.
Right. Oh, wow.
Mine was the first back on television. Yeah.
Don, were you laughing at the Tekiami fight when he was punching you or no?
No, absolutely not. See, I was trying to keep all my teeth.
Oh, that's the greatest fight of all time.
How come there's never been another fight like that where two people just clinched and pounded each? I've never seen another fight like that.
I've seen close, but not like that one. But also because these guys weren't going down. They just kept, like, they just, it went on for like 15 minutes, you know, whereas other guys, they go down in like 3 seconds or guys wait to the last 30 seconds to do it or 20 seconds. They don't do it at the very start of the fight.
Yeah.
You know, like these guys were just, it was, and plus there was no time limits back then, right? Don, it was like, what, 15 minutes? Why do you have a gun on you?
We never know where this conversation is going to go.
I don't understand why he has a gun to start the podcast. And then we start, we were worried you were getting excited about this fight and the gun would go off. Because it's like,
you know, like, I might hit the trigger.
So anyway, I was in Pennsylvania last week. I had a show. It was a really, really fun, really fun in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. A lot of I know the Gutfeld fans came because the 6 o'clock show was packed. You know, it's all the. I even said, I go, even, oh, great. Now it's fucking Wolverine is here. And I it's a Wolverine versus Don's guns. I go, even if you guys get offended and want to like walk out, I don't think you guys can. Like that was the age of the crowd. And then the second show was good, but there was a prom going on, like an adult prom in the other room. Cause it's a huge ballroom and a club. And so, yeah, it was like a midlife crisis prom of like people that were in their 40s or 50s, and they were like didn't go to the prom or wanted another prom. So it was like a lot
you
of
call that a swinger party.
Did you guys see the Volkanovski fight?
That was good.
All right, so Bill saw it. All right, so none of the fighters saw it, right?
I saw it.
What did you think of the fight?
I don't know, man. I was a little surprised. I thought Volkanovski, as old as he's getting, I figured he would start showing his age before long. But it's hard. You never know how guys like that aren't the normal size, like aren't the normal size of a man will age, because it's like watching Benjamin Button fight or something. Like those dudes are – dude, I don't know. If you're a full-grown man, weigh 135 pounds, I don't know what to tell you. They are so tiny. I was watching a guy fight. Actually, I was watching two guys fight one time that had to be like 5'2 and 5'1, but they were grown men, like 35 years old. And I was at a local fight, and they were pinned up against the cage in the clinch, and I yelled out, "Stand them up!" And everyone started dying laughing in the crowd. And so after the fight, I was talking to one of the guys that was fighting, and I realized he was one of my teammates at my same jiu-jitsu school. He goes, "You hear that asshole say, stand them up?" Because it wasn't funny. I was like, yeah, I don't know who said that, man. I would have called him out on it if I had done it, but I didn't realize it was one of my teammates.
Yeah, I was looking for him, too. I was going to defend your honor. Yeah, yeah.
But it was... pretty funny. So
Volkanovski won, Don, which is good because it was a win for the old guy. I think he just has Lopez's number. I think it was just one of those things where the other guy is really good, Diego Lopez, but he just can't get past the hump of this guy, Volkanovski.
Oh, well, but listen, what I have found, it sounds like to me he kind of got out wrestled, right?
He got out wrestled, outstruck. Yeah, he got.
That's what I mean. Well, here's the thing about getting out wrestled. Okay, that by itself, it's easier to outstrike you if you're worried about me fucking tackling you every moment. Yeah. And I keep saying that rugby is the best base for MMA a little bit, and I'm half joking about that. It's group wrestling, rugby is. So it trains you to, like, get in on a takedown and don't fucking quit. Like, don't just keep running through the guy. Eventually, you'll find a cage, right? And then get him down. So... yeah, I think it's not so much that he has Diego's number. It's just Diego hasn't fucking taken a wrestling class yet. Like, hasn't really.
He wrestled with Oklahoma State for like a month.
But that's, no, buddy. great. Go to fucking Penn State and hang out in the showers for all I care. You need to fucking, no, you need to learn MMA wrestling. Like, bro, even today, like these days, I go to a practice and watch a coach. And he is showing the dudes high school wrestling single legs. He's showing the dudes like outdated technology that we already got rid of in 2000 with Dan Henderson. I'm like, okay, this is how you wrestle for MMA. This is how, you know, you cannot do it in this. Yeah. It's, oh, I'm going to Oklahoma State. Oh, great. Oh, you're going to try to wrestle at Nationals? No, I'm going to do a fight. Well, what the fuck? You're an idiot then. Because it's a totally different sport. You're going to get a single leg from a dude who's crouched down at 2 foot off the ground. No. MMA, we're standing up like this. You're getting hit with bungalows and then double leg.
By the way, I got to give a shout out to Javier Lovato Jr. That's his name. So he's 42 years old or 41. He was like the number one jiu-jitsu guy in the world. One of them, at least. One of the top guys. He did MMA. He was undefeated. Then he had some kind of brain injury where he could have died. So he couldn't do any MMA anymore. And now he went back to college. And now he's wrestling for OSU. And like, made the team and like is winning matches. And
of course. Of course. You know, the funny thing is about like old man strength, you still got it. And then all the kids are a lot dumber than you. It's so crazy, bro. It's so crazy because they'll be cock strong, bro. They'll come out the gate fucking all after me. But then they just don't know this like one area of the game. So if I find that out,
you see a lot of wrestlers who jiu-jitsu. You don't see a lot of jiu-jitsu to wrestling guys, like, or like if ever really. I mean, maybe at a very low level, but not at a very high level. So and he's doing heavyweight.
Also, though, but he's been training since a kid. His father was part of it. You know, that's why I always like say I regret not going to the Army, because my dad was training me to the Army. What a waste of a soldier I am. I'm just some fucking MMA fighter. You know what I mean?
Your dad jumped out of planes, right?
Yeah, my dad was he might have had many jobs in the Army. But yeah, he was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne. For the badass. Yeah. Well, not so badass because he fucking went through Ranger school and got flunked out for getting in a fight with the instructor.
That is pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way that it could be more badass than being a Ranger is fucking getting in a fight with the fucking...
But now he lives in Vietnam, right? With like a...
No. Now, because of some clever stock tips from this guy, this motherfucker's at the Great Wall of China every other weekend. He's doing whatever he wants, bro.
Now, Bill, what's going on in the jiu-jitsu world with this alleged scandals?
So Andre Galvao, who's one of the goats of jiu-jitsu, he's been accused of molesting people during, I just call that north-south position.
I call it a butt drag. That's how you do it.
wait, how real? Like what? Like during class?
I don't know. I don't know all the details because I feel like everything is kind of like going through the legal process and people aren't being very explicit about what's happening. So all the posts are basically several women have come out and they said going from inappropriate to assaulted. You know, and obviously you gotta just, it's one of those things you gotta just take a step back and go, okay, how much of this is real, and I'm sure there is, how much of it is just bandwagon, how much of it's true, you don't know, because there's a lot of
style position and just humping people, like how does that work?
I don't know. I mean, whatever
maybe he's licking and biting.
Like sometimes I'll give a nice rim job if I'm in bottom north south, and I just think that's defense, you know what I mean? That's how you get out of it.
John, have you ever grappled with a woman before in class?
B or Don?
Sean.
Oh, yeah. No, with Julie Kedzie one time, and she tried to armbar me, and I just picked her up and sat her down from it, you know? So it wasn't practical. But there was a guy named Marcelo Montero, not to name any names, but he was he was my first jiu-jitsu coach ever as a Brazilian guy, and his whole life is a lie. Like, it's the biggest, everything's a scam with him. But he used to give a private lesson to every female that would come in there. Like literally they would get private attention the whole time. And then he would give them a free private lesson. None of the dudes, just the girls. And he also paid some girl to marry him for 3 years so he could get a citizenship here. And then after they had been married on paper for like 6 months, he started telling her that she couldn't go out with guys and she was like, she was his wife and she had to like cook him dinner and stuff. Yeah. So he just sucks. I don't know why I started telling that.
I'm sure there's a lot of it in jiu-jitsu academies because there's a lot of dudes, a lot of testosterone. A lot of them are going to be assholes. And some of these women are just going to be vulnerable. And I'm sure it's all, a lot of it's coming out from other academies too.
Buddy, it's twofold. Okay. The type of student, and it sounds like Sean found one of those guys, the type of guy who kind of grifts and makes up his whatever, his accolades, and like, oh, I'm a black belt, and like respect the black belt, and does this weird thing where now I have the power and Weinsteins the whole place up, you know, that is definitely like one danger. The other side of that coin, unfortunately, we have to talk about is certain insane women go to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
You're not allowed to say that.
You're not allowed to say that both people, like, look, there's a lot of, like, crazy people in the martial arts. I'll admit that at one time or another, I might have been. So it's like extreme personality gravitates towards combat sports. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
And the other side is, yeah, it's so easy. Like, I really take my job as an instructor very seriously and, like, have to make a sharp dividing line. When I was younger, man, I made a lot of mistakes by, you know, I coach boxing privates, and you call them pussy privates. You teach, like, a free private lesson. Hopefully she likes you, right? When you're younger, you make this kind of mistake. Then you get into all the kerfuffle, and you realize I have to draw dividing lines between I'm the teacher, you're the student, because, hey, they will want to bang you. They will, because you're buff and hot and strong and she's, like, learning from you. There's this natural propensity towards, so you have to, like, draw a dividing line.
Tom Brady's ex, right?
Giselle. Yeah. You're my student. And then, look, it's just proven that anytime human beings commiserate together, if you're stuck in a room, if you went on tour with a female comic, it don't matter if Elijah Schlesinger is annoying. You're good at banger.
I've done it before. And like a lot of when I was single and I would take sometimes girls on tour and I would try to be like, hey, listen, you know, and then they'd be like a couple times these girls jumped in my fucking bed, you know?
Bro, like, back in the like, day. When I worked the door at the comedy store, bro. You can't believe what these girls had to do to get in, man. I'm telling you.
oh God. That was somebody
else. I don't want to know.
Yeah, no, he's talking about. Anyway, so.
It's past the statute of limitations. Don't worry about it.
Did you guys see the fight, the boxing match where the guy's wig came off last week?
Yes, Jesus.
And guess what? He won because he's a Miller.
He won.
Oh, wait, the guy who got Jupega knocked off won?
He said he was losing before that. Did you guys, Don, did you see what happened?
No, I haven't seen it.
You guys show it. Yeah.
All right. So this happened in a boxing match. Here we go. I'll blow it up.
Brought all new meaning to getting your wig split in a fight.
So here we go. So here. It's
going to make the rounds on social media.
Here we go.
Cartoon. Oh, my goodness gracious. It is a toupee. It just took it off.
So he had a toupee. It came off. He threw it into the crowd. People started wearing it.
Is that why the ref stopped them right there because the toupee came off?
I think so. He said he was losing the fight before that, and then afterwards he's like, I can't lose my hair and lose the fight. He said he paid $700 for his cousin. His cousin hooked him up with it because his hair came. And
his cousin Turkey Alashish.
It was like actually the best thing for him because then he's been like getting all kinds of. He was a guy. His name was Big Baby. That's his nickname, Big Baby. Yeah. And he got busted for steroids a couple of years ago. And now this is the latest thing. But he won. And if he would have lost, I think it would have been really bad.
Wait, do you think that he went in there intentionally hoping that his toupee was going to come off to get?
No, 100% no. I think he didn't think he would get hit that hard. And his toupee came flying off.
How many fighters enter a ring with a toupee? I've never heard of that. Is that something that's...
At least one. At least one.
So, Don, you don't have a toupee, right?
No, not anymore, no. Just I wear one on my ass to keep McCorkle happy.
was. But the first time I ever met Don, I didn't know what to say, and he was like my hero. So I was like, "Dude, your mustache is epic!" And he had a real surprised look on his face. He goes, "Wait, is it back?" And I didn't know what to say. I was like, "What?" He goes, "I shaved off 2 hours ago." It was awesome. That was like the best answer ever.
There's another fight where I got to ask you guys about this fight. So, okay, so Mayhem, you know, Don, Sean, you guys are the experts at this. What should this girl have done? How do you prevent this? Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game, okay? You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game. You browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events. All right, they have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you don't like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot. Whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, et cetera. All right, go to Game Time Picks, all right? They make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now. So this girl's fighting. Can you guys see?
Yeah.
Let me crank it up.
It's some kind of Russian, I think.
The Summers. This is where she wants to fight.
Oh, and it's not. Oh,
beautiful. All right,
so the fight's going on. It's here we go. Let's go here.
He says she's okay.
Here.
This is where she wants it. This is her friend of butter. She needs to watch out. Look at that.
Made a mistake there. She's made
oh
a mistake.
Oh, my God. Is her arm broken? Okay.
What's she got to do here to make sure she doesn't get stretched?
She needs to pull out as
quick as all right. So, Jason, what should the girl on top be doing right now?
All right. Well, essentially, stop punching, first of all, because you're fucked up. Your arm is going to get fucked up. Clench your hands together and sort of kind of give like a baby carriage sort of like arms. Like you know, you have to like lock your arms like this so that you can like edge that left arm out of there. Because once the elbow passes the hip bone, you know, the front of the hip, like the pelvic floor, I mean, like, once it passes there, it's nothing. Then you just rip it out. In order to do that, she has to put her ear basically on that girl's face. Like, all your weight needs to be on rest on your shoulder to get that leg to be pushed back into the face. If not, she can extend and start crank your
arm.
Are
you allowed to step on her neck at this point?
Nah, you can technically step on it, yeah, but they may call you for kicking.
Oh,
and
come
stop.
On, Derek Chauvin, calm down.
Yeah.
Oh,
so yeah, this is a common mistake in younger fighters that I have to unteach a lot of people. They'll be punching in situations that require grappling, and vice versa. Like they'll still be trying to get a takedown when hey, the punch is wide open. So you know it's a double edged sword where I need people to be aggressive and want to hurt the other person, but you have to do it scientifically.
Sean, Don, do you agree with everything Mayhem's saying?
Yeah, but I would drive my knee right in the person's face, too.
Yeah, that is an option. You're right. Yeah, like shin bone across the neck works there, yeah.
Right in the nose, too.
There's a grip that broke her apart.
So, okay.
Hard. Watch out.
So, and also, that her whole mentality, let's just stop right there. Her whole mentality for grappling for mixed martial arts is wrong. She's like head down, consistently fighting legs. When in actuality, a proper stand up, like a proper posture from the guard and an erect head and like popping up so that the guard is a non-issue, that's the only way. Instead, you get into this situation where you're constantly fighting off an armbar, the triangle, an armbar. A really good jiu-jitsu practitioner is going to like keep your head down and wrap you up. So the girl in blue is doing a great job. The girl in green is just slowly wearing that arm and neck out.
Yeah.
You know, she has a triangle there positioned. She has the long leg. She
good triangle.
Careful. That's a great triangle. There, she locked up. Her other arm.
And that's Angelino shuffled forward.
Back to the first arm.
Orlando needs to roll to get out of this position. There it is.
Not really. Not roll. I mean, she's got a tough-ass neck and arms. She's just taking a damn beat. Sports
of sufficient attempts.
And look at that. Look at that leg right.
Still the triangle's there.
Oh, my God. How many submissions are you going for at the same time?
Man, listen. Now
watch this.
If she didn't already have this nickname, it should be Gumby.
Right here.
Yeah, look at Galita.
Watch this.
The armbar. Better quickly pull out. Jeez,
it's tight. It's tight now.
She broke her arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anybody could see this coming. Yeah. I don't know if why the referee, like, that's a mismatch. You could tell. It's like a child grappling a grown woman.
So you knew that was you knew the arm was going to break like that?
Listen, when I'm looking at somebody, and I'll just share this with you guys. Usually I talk to this with my students, is that I look at every part of the body in jiu-jitsu as having a power bar on it. If you can get somebody in a Kimura, you start chipping away at their power bar. Like that arm, whatever arm you have trapped, you can keep cranking on it until it gets so tired. And like, nobody really trains to sit in a submission all day. So if you get it and you hold it for most of the round, the oxygen in that limb starts to get depleted. That's what that power bar I'm talking about. That oxygen gets depleted and now it can't fire the way it did at minute one and minute four. It's like worn out now. Now you can break her arm. She like had her in that triangle.
And now her arm's fucked for like a year now, right?
Yeah, more than likely. Well, here's the thing about women is they have strange, flexible, extra flexible bodies for some reason. I swear, for some reason. Yeah, like they do. They can recover from this type of injury sometimes without surgery. Sometimes.
What is the injury? A separated shoulder?
That injury, to me, it appeared as if that rotator cuff was torn off. So she's out for more than, she might be done with that. Or if her rotator cuff ripped all the way off, if it's in the elbow, the recovery time is shorter. If it's in the shoulder, she's definitely.
But also, shouldn't she have tapped?
Yeah.
Look, and that's the other thing is that inside a fight, really hyper, like there's a lot of people that will not tap.
And that Kimura comes on fast too. I mean, even just with gi training.
But it didn't come on fast. She had it open. Experienced practitioner, like, you know, if you're chicken wing like that, like real bad,
you're gonna tap before it even sinks in.
Yeah. But she's in the guard. Like, I'm black belt. I know when I got. Like, that's a mistake. But you know, this girl very inexperienced at jiu-jitsu. It looks
clearly.
Like,
yeah.
And it kind of, their uniforms. This is indicative of amateur fights or something.
Yeah.
So to me, I want the referee to step in way before that. Like, I had a young guy fight. Man, he got clubbed pretty good. In a pro fight, they should have let it go. In an amateur fight, the guy's done. He made a mistake bad. No use in putting his brains on the mat or no use taking her rotator cuff. You know, I mean, I hope her job at Walmart got insurance.
Now, Sean, you won your first, 15 fights by Kimura?
A lot of them, yeah. That was the first, that guy that scammed everybody, the Brazilian guy, was the first day, the first class, that's what he showed, was sitting up from a guard, full guard, we were on bottom and getting an art like a Kimura, like I did to Mark Hunt. That was the first thing he taught, and at the end of the class, it was my first class ever, I submitted him with it, and he was, like, devastated, he wouldn't tap, and, like, his assistant kept, like, shaking his head, like, no, like, don't, like, don't tap him. I was like, dude, fuck that. Like, I picked him up with it off the ground. I got on top, picked it up, made him tap in front of his whole class. But he won in the end because he billed my credit card $99 a month for 6 years without me realizing it.
Oh, shit.
Everything you do is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, you can't just go to a class. You have to submit the teacher, have him bill your credit card. But how many guys did you break their arms to that point where that girl did?
I broke Mark Hunt's arm, but I switched it to his elbow because he had, at that point when you're in that submission, you got, if you straighten your arm and you put the pressure on the elbow, you break their elbow. If they bend it, it can break their shoulder. But I broke an 18-year-old kid's arm with a one-handed Kimura. Like, I reached up and around and like got his wrist and was trying to roll him over like we were drilling one day. And I guess I didn't know my own steroid enhanced strength and snapped his arm in half during a jiu-jitsu drill.
During a drill?
Yeah, just like I was like, he was doing something. I was trying to show him where he's making a mistake. Like, giving
Don, why, Don, why are you laughing at this? That's fucked up part is that Don, this is the most I've seen Don smile. Why do you think this is funny?
That this is it's beautiful, man. I don't think the whole thing's fucking funny and shit.
But yeah, some kid, I think he may have been 17. I don't know. But he
even funnier.
Yeah, he was young, and his arm just snapped in half, and I wasn't even like pressed it that hard, and it was
You snapped on the bone or on a joint?
No, his actual arm, like his where your forearm is, it broke, like both bones broke in half, like just completely.
Hey, that's right, man. Fuck that kid. His mom signed the waiver.
Yeah. No, that's when I tore my ACL, I like tapped this guy in like 20 seconds. This like short, chubby Asian guy, like, and I'm like, okay, let's go again. And then I didn't know, he put me in an electric chair, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm like, this guy's not going to fucking do anything. And I rolled out the wrong way, and then my leg was just like, and I don't know about you, but I'm in denial. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. So then I get up to shoot. I shoot a single leg. I'm like fucking Bambi. My whole leg just fucking just gives out. Next thing I know, I'm looking up at the whole class. The whole class is gathered around me. And I was like, that was.
Now, when your ACL completely tore, like it snapped like a shotgun. Because when I've heard it snap in class before, that shit sounds like someone fired a gun.
It did. I had to go right to the hospital.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was. Dude, before that, it was already fucked up, and I had to sit like this on like a airplane for 4 hours, and I get to Toledo, Ohio. I get to the airport. It's 3 a.m. There's no one there except for Diego Sanchez. I swear to God, he's the only guy in the airport, right?
Of course.
So then I go up to him, and he's there because he's teaching a course, a Bible. Him and Vitor Belfort are at some church giving a speech, which is like, who, like, and then I'm asking him if I tore my ACL. And like, this is what I know I'm fucked up, but I'm asking Diego for medical advice.
Just pray to God, it'll be fine.
Yeah. It's so anyway.
One thing, Adam. There's a match. I should find it. Where a jiu-jitsu match, and it reminded me of something you did. You said one time you did jiu-jitsu, and you put your hands on the neck like old school, like 1940s gangster. Oh
yeah,
villain.
When I first started, I started strangling the guy.
Strangle.
Yeah.
Some guy just tapped a guy out during like 80cc or something. Like with that move, he strangled him from closed guard.
Don, I've been watching a lot of old UFC things where they have like the stories before, and they'll have like a guy like in a woodshed, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm 265-0 in street fights," and he's like, "And I do Wong Wong Chu," and he makes it. Did you ever watch those things and be like, "This guy could be legit," or did you know right away that you were going to kill those guys?
I knew they were a fucking goof. Yeah. It was a goof.
Mayhem, one of the funniest videos that you never released that I saw, you showed me, was when you were trying to fight Diego, you were trying to fight Nick Diaz, and you made a video of you doing all the guys the tap out guys, and you played all three of them. And then you were trying to fight, and you made a video of you spoofing them, and then you were like calling out Diego.
No, bro, I released that. I just stopped doing it because it got me a show on MTV. So
oh, really?
I did it one time. I released it. They thought it was hilarious. Somebody fucking hired me. Yeah.
But then there was another one you made where you tried to fight, you were trying to fight Nick Diaz.
Oh, I made so many of those, bro. Back in the day, there has to be a million of those. Because I was just like, I was just trolling him. I was like chasing him around.
How close were you to fighting Nick Diaz?
No, what do you mean, bro? No, that wasn't. He didn't want to do it.
Right. You were bigger, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. All of a sudden, he was like going to throw a fucking water bottle at me like a little bitch. And then like,
Where was that? That was at a local event, right?
Yeah, no, that was, I don't know. Yeah, maybe Nashville or at that time. No, that was different. Fucking thing. I don't know. You got me all mad now because you put me in that mindset, you know, where I'm like, wait a minute, bro. Almost like that day that I got the news that I was too big now, but I was not too big. You know what I mean? It made me mad that all of a sudden they like did some weird, it was a good fight. It was a fight the fans wanted. And it was something that, you know, could have been done.
Like, you and Nick thing. Diaz would have been like that.
But no, that's the bit that kind of highlights the business too, where it's like that there's one business in town that got all the contracts. So what? You cannot have something outside that's bigger than the sport.
Well,
like,
at the time,
you gotta wait for Conor McGregor to box Mayweather.
He was in Strikeforce, right? At the time?
No, I mean, yeah.
And you were aware?
Well, we both were contracted under the same company. So it was something that would make sense, you know? It's that, look, if I ever have the opportunity to put on a big fight like that with some backstory or anything, dude, nothing's stopping me. It's not going to be like this weird, oh,
yeah, but that's here. Like, you're like one of 50, of like 100 what ifs. Like, what if, like, we were talking about, like, what if Randleman versus Fry? What if Randleman versus Tito? What if Mayhem versus Diaz? What if Randy Couture versus Fedor at the time? You know, like, probably Fedor probably would have won, I think, at the time. But there were a lot
of- I don't know. I don't think so, bro. I think everyone over... Bro, I think Fedor, I was overblown a bit because people forget how good Randy was at that time. Like, right. You know, it's like Randy Couture was like the best fighter, most complete fighter. He had every game. He figured out all the games real quick, man. And Fedor had like, he was really good at those specific things. So like judo kind of punch, big punches sort of deal. It would have, yeah, again, you're right. A what if?
Don, prime Randy, prime Fedor, who wins?
Fedor easily.
Damn. All right. We disagree.
Sean?
I got to say Fedor just because he's my all-time favorite fighter. And he,
I'm outnumbered here.
Fedor, he turned me down twice on fighting me, said I was too big, like both times when I was outside the UFC. And Andrei Arlovsky turned me down twice too. So I have the moral victory either way. That both of those guys were too afraid to fight me at the end of the day. When I heard that Fedor was too afraid to fight me, it was like one of the highlights of my life. Like, I was like, that's awesome. Like the baddest dude that's ever lived is afraid of me.
Yeah, well, so. Now was this back, because back in the day, Sean would make videos where Matt Mitrione would be on his knees, right, and you would be standing up. So people,
well, that's a whole other video, but yeah, we also made 5 minutes. I had a legend going for a while. Like I would take like how Andre the Giant stood on top of something when he did an interview with Vince McMahon. When I was just an internet legend and no one had ever seen me stand next to a fighter, anytime I took a picture with a fighter, I would stand on a medicine ball at the gym or just stand on something to make myself like a foot taller. And when Ben Rothwell met me in person, he goes, dude, I thought you were like 7'4". He said, like, everybody actually believed it. Like I had like an online legend. That's back when me and Mayhem got into it because I saw him hanging out with Kimbo Slice, and I couldn't figure out who was blacker at the time because Kimbo or because Mayhem had his grill in and everything.
I low key hated Sean McCorkle, bro. I fucking hated you, bro. I was like, who is this asshole doing my shtick on the underground?
I'll never forget. Mayhem made I made a video called So Tired of Kimbo, and 10 minutes later, Mayhem made one that said So Tired of McCorkle, and it blew up. Like it was like, because I would get attention. Like Josh Barnett has only posted 7 times in the history of the underground, and one of them was to tell me to fuck off, that he wasn't afraid to fight me. I was like, dude, this is amazing. Because I started a rumor that Josh Barnett had turned me down. This is before I was in the UFC. When everybody thought I was 7'4", I said it made a rumor that he had turned me down for a Pride or Dream fight, and that if he wanted it, he knew where to get it. I'd just come to him with a camera and $250,000. We can just bet on it. I'd never met him. He would have killed me in a fight. But Josh Barnett was like his 7th post. Like, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're talking shit. But if you got $250,000, get a hold of me. We'll see if we can actually make something happen. I was like, dude, this is amazing.
God, like, I don't know. The night you beat Mark Hunt, I don't know if anyone could have beaten you that night. Just because no one knew how to fight you. Like, no.
They all believe the legend. I even believe.
How many fights in the UFC was that?
119.
But he was undefeated. Sean was undefeated. And no one knew how good his ground game was. So he would have, you would have beaten a lot of guys until they realized there were other ways to beat you, right?
They realized they just got to, yeah, make it 90 seconds and I'll completely gas out. That's all they had to figure out. Just make it. I could hang with anyone in the world for 90 seconds.
I don't know. All right. So a couple news stories. We'll get to that. Do you guys see the guy dressed up as Batman? So a guy dressed up as Batman and showed up at a town hall meeting to try to ban ice from the Super Bowl, right? so we'll here, I'll show
was
you.
Was it after Mr. Freeze? What's the Batman? I don't get the Batman connection.
I will show it.
Oh, that makes sense. I like that. Mr. Freeze. Good connection.
Sean, funny you should ask. Here we go. So here's this guy. All right.
Very polite.
Here we go.
Very earnest. I don't want you to sit back and watch. I want you to fucking do something. Each and every one of these people who have came up has been very polite, very earnest, very kind, pleading you, begging you to do something. I'm not begging you. I'm demanding that you act with some semblance of a fucking spine. Do something.
So
coming from Batman, yeah, that means a lot. Yeah, sure.
You know, I thought he'd be a lot fatter when I first heard about it.
You know, he get his fingerprints. He doesn't have gloves, full gloves on. So, I mean, you would figure out who he is in a matter of seconds by his fingerprints.
But, like, so he wants ice to not be there.
No, you're not getting it, bro. He just wants protests to stop because his parents were killed during a protest.
Hilarious.
And during those protests, a lot of times some of those protesters are robbing.
Oh, hey. Yeah, what a joker. But yeah, so.
Hey, I did real quick before we move on from Batman. I had a customer. I had a customer this week named Mr. Wayne. And I kept just saying things, even though it was like a huge $80,000 job. I was like, he said, you can just come around to the back. And I was like, okay, is Alfred going to let me in? And he like didn't get it. And I just kept like, he was like, Alfred. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I had you mixed up with someone, a different customer. And so then when I accidentally like butt dialed him at one point and he goes, were you trying to get a hold of me? I said, well, I saw the light in the sky, the back, you know, whatever. And he was like, and he had no idea what I was talking about. And he finally realized, turned out he's the coolest guy ever. But he finally realized after about five jokes via text, when I didn't even have the job secured yet, that I was making fun of him for being named Mr. Wayne. I don't know.
Bro, you got to give him a break, bro. You know what I mean? He's adapting to the darkness. You were born in the darkness.
That's true.
So Philadelphia is looking to recruit new sheriffs. And this is how their thing went viral. Their new sheriff video. I'll show you guys. Can you guys see this? Here we go.
That looks about right.
All right. So here we go. Philadelphia is looking. So this is their new video.
You know, you got it backwards. These girls are clearly with the TSA.
You guys think this will help get people to?
It's just a banger track, bro. Let it run, bro. It's
just yeah, a I can't believe you stopped
banger,
it.
Bro. I don't know how they're not getting fucking 10,000 per minute on Spotify.
Well, that's a big song. Oh, they actually banned that on the cruise ships. They banned the fans because they were going, psh, 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 and it was like irritating people. It sounded like gunshots.
That's a known dance that people do with the fan and the
yeah,
steps.
Yeah. But I don't know how that's going to get.
Wait a minute. Okay. Slow down. You're just going to speed right by this. All right. Because I didn't know about this fan thing until this moment. Okay. Which culture are they appropriating with this fan dance? Is this made in China fans?
I don't know. Probably.
Is this the Communist Party I've been hearing so much about? Are these paid actors by George Soros?
Yes. The songs are called Boots on the Ground, and the fans go.
Bro, I can't wait to make the remix, bro. Boots on the ground. Boots on the ground. Boots on the ground. Up with it.
Now, Don, you want to be a sheriff. Are you going to be partaking in these dances at all or no?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I'm the one that choreographed the whole thing. What are you talking about?
I'm trying to figure out, we went from Batman in the previous video, and it looked like, was that Captain Native America in the second video?
Like, yeah, they paid $10,000 for the I don't know, the mascot, I guess, to be
in the video. Did you get the joke, though? Because that was amazing. The star
that was
on
a good
the hat,
joke.
Captain,
good joke.
Native,
Captain
America.
Native America.
All right.
Nice.
It looked like a Native
But, you
American.
Know, you mixed DCU with Marvel, so sorry.
Oh, yeah, I lost half the, yeah, I lost half the audience.
So, yeah.
Seven people didn't get it.
So that's, those are some, and then some more news stories that are going on. I don't know if you, according to a new study, 1 in 4 couples only have sex once a month or less due to fatigue of somebody being tired, maybe of banging other chicks. But yeah, so I know, Don, when you were married, were you having sex more than once a month?
Yeah, I think I was having it once every hour.
Hell yeah. It's a man right there.
Bill, were you...
I've never been married. Just my luck.
She was having it once every 5 minutes.
Strange. Bruce Buffer, Bill, and Dominic Cruz, all three have never been married.
Wow.
Hey, what are you implying there, Sean?
Hey, what about J. Edgar Hoover, certified bachelor?
A guy posing as an FBI agent carrying a pizza cutter tried to break Luigi Mangione out of prison. You guys see this?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
good.
Wait,
like, are you saying a man snuck through the sewer pipes and tried to was he wearing a red shirt by any chance?
Do you have a big mustache?
I'm pretty sure the guy was black. Yeah, he tried to get him
just
out.
Statistically,
of
he was thinking
he took a mushroom, got really small.
Statistically. Oh,
like, I'm pretty sure he was black statistically.
Yeah, some guy got arrested for trying to break him out of prison. I don't know much about it, but
he's a pizza delivery man trying to break him out of prison.
Oh, named Mark Anderson. Basically, he impersonated an FBI agent, was found with a pizza cutter and a barbecue fork in his bag.
Sick. I mean, that's the exact equipment you need to get out of there. I know. I was thinking the whole time, if I just had a pizza cutter and a barbecue fork, I would be out of this place.
Jason, did anyone ever try to break any, when you were there, people out of jail or no?
Bro, one time I was there on a violation and Lady Gaga's dog walker shooter guy.
Oh, yeah.
The dude who shot Lady was there. I was there doing a violation. This guy gets busted for shooting Lady Gaga's dog walker.
It is Lady Gaga.
Sorry?
It's Lady Gaga, not Lady Gaga.
Listen, bro. I'm pretty sure that I know the little monsters, okay? It's
okay,
Lady Gaga.
On. All right. So
anyway, that the dog walker, bro, they did a paperwork kerfuffle, and this guy walked straight out of there.
Really? Just walked
yes.
out of jail?
Yes, he was on trial for attempted murder, and then whoopsie daisy, they let him out. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there for wrestling a kid in the lobby of the Sunset Marquee.
Oh man, you guys see Guy Fieri?
Wait, are you talking about the delightful chubby man with the blonde hair and
yeah,
like roots growing in?
He posted a picture of himself. He looks a lot different. I'll show you guys what he looks like now. This is him.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's Charlie Kirk now?
He looks like Rosie O'Donnell.
John Goodman. This motherfucker's John Goodman.
Is
that AI?
No.
He got an AI-generated lack of bulge in his trousers.
They said he's unrecognizable with his new birthday look. This is him. This is Guy Fieri.
So he's reborn as a cuck?
Yeah. He went from a cook to a cock.
Who was he before?
Reason? What's the reason for the change? Does he talk about it?
He's got a new Food Network show.
You know what he looks like? You know what he looks like? Bro, you know, remember when Hot Rod he quit doing stunts and he just wore like a he's just missing the sweater vest and he will be perfect, bro.
I hate to say he looks better with the blonde hair and the goatee.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Pat from SNL.
No, bro, listen, here's what you're looking at, right? You're looking, hey, go back down. On the right, you have trailer trash guy. And then on the left, you say, hey, do you want to come to my Bible study, guy?
Yeah.
Right? On the right, you want some hot sauce with those wings. And on the left is...
better here? Sean, do you look better here or here?
Dude, I don't know who he is. I'm still trying to figure out who he even is. I thought it was... who was the guy that used to... The guy that... Robin Black. That's who I thought it was at first.
The fighter guy? That guy's like ripped, has like spiky hair. And, no, he's a chef.
Son of a bitch.
It was a big deal for a while.
Yeah, very big deal. All right, so that's Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri is awesome.
And then Turning Point USA has announced that Kid Rock will headline the counter-programming halftime show.
Wait, is he packing up his bag and he's going to head out west with real chicks going to quit with strips and fake breasts?
It's Turning Point. Yeah, Turning Point is going to be that they're having a halftime show this week against a Bad Bunny. I don't know.
I think Christian Family Values, I think Kid Rock.
I don't know if they're going to try to call ICE and you know, try to get Bad Bunny deported or whatever. But yeah, so they're Turning Point USA is going to have the counter programming halftime show, and it's going to be the All-American halftime show. It's dubbed as Faith, Family, and Freedom. It's going to be Kid Rock, Bradley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, Gabby Barrett, and they're saying Nicki Minaj.
Is Erica Kirk going to do like a feature on Nicki Minaj?
Like,
I was trying to figure out who would win that.
Which one are you watching?
I'm watching Kid Rock. I'm not going to watch some gay Puerto Rican in a dress float around a stage. You know, forget that.
Sean, yeah,
Kid Rock all the way, baby. Kid Rock.
I was kind of wondering who's going to win that ratings battle with a 150 million viewer lead in for whoever's doing the Super Bowl thing. But when you told me Lee Price was performing,
yeah,
Turning Point, when I have no choice but to watch that.
No, Lee Bryce. Yeah. Lee Bryce.
Well, either way.
Yeah, him too.
Lee Majors?
Either one of them is a huge win.
Bill, which one are you going to watch?
I mean, where's this Skid Rock thing even airing?
Yeah. What channel is that on?
Is on turningpoint.com
on YouTube.
You know what? You actually have a good point.
I have to download the Turning Point app and pay $19.95 to watch Kid Rock.
Yeah, it doesn't say where it's going to be. You're actually right.
You have to see it live, apparently.
But yeah, do I have to buy a ticket? Where is this plaza? I'm guessing it's in the south of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah, so it's those four are gonna, I don't know where it is. That's a very good question.
It's an exclusive, you can't even find. This is just, hey, wait, if you pray hard enough, it just pops up on your TV.
It's gonna be a four gun minimum. All right, and now also the US Olympic figure skating team, because of the word ICE, the ICE backlash, they changed their name for the building they're staying at from the Ice House to the Winter House.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's cheesy, bro.
That's real? That's a real thing.
That's real. That's real. These are all news stories that I had to help cover.
From now on, when you order a drink, I'll have a soda with frozen water in chunks.
Solidified water molecules, please.
They should just call ice skating gaze on blades instead of like, you know, like.
I mean, look, bro. I mean, that's superfluous. You don't need all those words. Just say gaze.
So, it's now called the what? It's called the Winter House instead.
That's way more letters, dude. Like, who's the sign maker that's got to scribble in winter where ice once was?
I know.
A hospital in France was evacuated yesterday because a male patient arrived with a World War I artillery shell lodged up his ass.
Hello.
I don't know
why. Is this Pulp Fiction Part 2?
I don't know why you had to evacuate the whole hospital for this, but it must have been
Well, it was just in case he evacuates, you know. Well,
that's where Bruce Buffer's been.
Hey! It all comes full circle.
He's been in France.
So Gavin Newsom has a new book coming out where he says he was bullied in high school until he started to wear a suit and slick his hair back.
Then he was really bullied.
Then he continues. I would have bullied him every time I see him on TV, bro.
He said he went from, they used to call him New Scum to, after that, El Presidente. That's what they called him.
Bro, that was bad because, hey, Trump hit him with that. So yeah, like,
he said that brought up memories of him getting bullied in high school is when Trump said it.
Oh my God. Newsom got PTSD. PTSD from a high school fucking jocks making fun of him.
He also banged his chief of staff's wife back in the day. And he says it was the worst betrayal of his life. But he banged her. So I don't understand what.
No, he's saying that's the one of the worst ones. That was the worst one he did. Until later, when they did the whole train thing, you know what I'm saying?
And he also says he also dated, when he was 38, he dated a 19-year-old model who also was a lacrosse player. But I like him more now. But he leaves that out of the book for some reason. And then finally, four Buddhist monks in Thailand were arrested because they found with porn, a penis pump, an escort list, and we're on meth.
Yo, so, are any of those things illegal in Thailand? When I went, it must have changed the law since then.
It's crazy that we got the Buddhist monk escort list before you got the Epstein list. Which one should be harder to find?
Shit, we get an Epstein list before we get GTA 6.
Those were, and then Don Lemon was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. You guys watch it?
Wow, bro, did some type of like liberal thing like explode or something? Like, how? Wow, that's like.
Hey, Lemon started crying. I guess he was on T. He was in tears.
They must have both started crying. Did they both start crying?
Or so, you got it.
Those are all things that are going on. What do you have coming up, Mayhem Miller?
Oh, whatever. I don't need. I have like a bunch of stuff. I'm going to New York. I'm going to Toy Fair. That's what's up.
Nice.
Yeah. But then, you know, I'm going to go do a bunch of shows and whatnot.
Bill, who's in this movie that you're in for the next month?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody big, which is why I'm the lead. You think we'll be lead in a movie with a bunch of stars? Say that. I'll be in Peoria, Illinois for a month shooting a movie. So I want to train when I'm there. So, you know, if anyone's in Peoria, hit me up. Also, I got Euphoria coming out in April, and I ADR'd today, and I just had to ADR getting my dick sucked.
Oh, really?
So I'd get on the microphone and just go, daddy play. Yeah, baby girl.
Did you guys go hear about Dominic. That? You guys hear about that? So that was the scene where he had to be naked, right? With the hot girl. What's her name? The Indian girl. What's her? The
Zendaya?
Star? Yeah, Zendaya, right? So he has to get naked for the scene. So he takes a bunch of Viagra and then gets all chubby. And then they go, hey, we cut the scene. So then he's sitting there with a boner and his eyes are bloodshot from the Viagra for the rest of the scenes you're in, right?
Yeah. It was awful because I also I was so worried about how my penis would look because it's HBO and I got to have HBO dick that I didn't know, memorize my lines. So I got to say, I was like, oh shit, I forgot. I like had a painful boner and I had to study.
Hired, I was like, I'm in high school HBO all over. And you spent the whole time worried about your dick?
Of course.
Damn. Sorry, what now?
Now you don't think that crazy. They cut the scene because they noticed you had a huge heart on and they were like, we're not doing this?
No, I think they cut the scene because they had a camera in my trailer and they saw me changing. They're like, ugh. Cut her losses.
Don, when you were in Godzilla, did you take Viagra to get hard?
All the time, man. I had to fight Godzilla. Come on. I needed a weapon.
Jason, when you fought Kevin James and here come the boom, did you have a throbbing?
I was full, three quarters hard, okay? Not all the way. Because it's a family movie.
Yeah, you can't be all the way. That's gay. You can only be half or three quarters.
Yeah, three quarters.
All right, this Friday and Saturday, I will be at the Looney Bin in Tulsa. I feel like I'm there right now, actually. But I'll be at the Looney Bin in Tulsa. And coming up, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone. Go to adamhuntercomedy.com. Sean, what do you have coming up?
I've got 11 puppies right now, if anybody wants them. My puppy mill is on its season. And we've got about 18 inches of snow here, sub-zero weather. And you guys have been to my house. The puppies are out in that red pole barn, like 800 feet from my house. So I get to walk out there every day carrying things 9 different times. The driveway's so snowed over, even like a four-wheel drive truck won't go back through there. So like it's hell here, man. Indiana sucks. But yeah, I've got 11 puppies, if any of our 9.
What type of puppies?
They're XL American Bullies. The parents were originally cost $30,000 and $15,000. So they're really high quality bloodline dogs. But
they're beautiful dogs, man. They're beautiful dogs.
My favorite was when you bought the dogs to breed and one of them was gay.
Dude, I ended up having to have him put to sleep just for being gay. No.
God.
No,
are you, the Iranian regime?
He would only hump the males when the female was in heat and never did get him to breed with any of them. And I paid $10,000 for that dog and he was apparently gay. So
did you rename him Bruce?
And then Don, what do you have? I know someone that is gonna come see you in New Jersey, right? You're doing something in Jersey?
That's shit. That's April. I think that's in April. I think this month I'm in Texas somewhere. I think Midland, Texas.
Midland, Texas. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much, and I hope you guys have a good week. Take care. Bye. Bye.